So you were in Kansas City last week.
Yes.
And Vegas put up 40 on Kansas City, which is kind of what you have to do if you're going to beat the Chiefs, and beat them by 8 points, 40-32. Kansas City pivots off of that loss and signs Le'Veon Bell after he is released by the New York Jets. And you think to yourself, well, they need another offensive weapon. What is your assessment of what you saw last week in Kansas City? And then your assessment of Le'Veon Bell landing in the Midwest?
Well, number one, Kansas City, there should be zero panic about a regular season loss. If you think about their schedule, and how they started the season, you know, you're the defending champs. It's a crazy time for all of us in this world. You open at home on a Thursday night because you are the defending champs. You get that honor. And here comes Houston, the team that thinks they're going to press you. You jump on them. Right. In the course of this season so far, they went to Baltimore, which was the showdown of the young NFL season. They blew away Baltimore. They come home. Here comes New England. Now, unfortunately, they had to go through all the COVID and what have you. Cam doesn't play, but still, it's New England. And they jump on New England and beat them. It's almost a natural to get a letdown in there somewhere. And they've owned the Raiders. You know, going into that game, they'd won 12 of the last 14 against them. You know, had blown them away as well. So a letdown to an extent was natural. But this is a different Raiders team as well. I think this is the team with potential to be pretty darn good, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule right now, and they played the game of their lives. And in the second half of that game, think about it now. It's 24-24 at the half. They held them to that one score. That was pretty impressive. Now, again, zero panic. I don't expect anyone to think that Kansas City is just going to go south now. Adding Le'Veon Bell looks on paper like a significant move to help out your young runner, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's a rookie. You worry about rookie wall, how many touches. Now you get this, the great complimentary guy who could be better than complimentary. The one thing you keep an eye on as an administration is Le'Veon Bell being the Le'Veon Bell we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years, which is a pain in the backside. Okay? I mean, the juvenile way of getting out of New York. All right, you start liking comments directed at your coach that are negative or directed at your team that are negative. How old are you? Okay, just stop it. All right, but now he ends up landing in a better place, a better situation because they're winning. You expect him to act right. And if he acts right and plays right, it's a big move for Kansas City. So I don't see any downside for KC because I do believe Brett Veach, their GM, Andy Reid, their head coach, they're similar to Bill Belichick in this way. We'll bring you in if you've had issues elsewhere, if we think you can help us, but we're also not afraid to get rid of you if you become a pain in the butt. And I think that's where Kansas City is with Le'Veon Bell. And if he acts right and plays well, fantastic move. And again, another weapon. And they're still, to me, the decided favorites coming out of the AFC West. I know that Las Vegas beat them, but I don't think anyone thinks that Las Vegas is a better team than Kansas City, but they were better on Sunday. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I got to see it myself.
I want to ask you about Canadian Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh. Four touchdowns last week. Yeah, I don't want to miss this. How is this just a fluke one game, or have they found something here?
No, they have found something. And you know, it's one of those things where the rest of the world's catching up now, but the football world knew beforehand. Remember, he was a second-round pick. So it's not like people didn't know that he could play. He was at the Senior Bowl in Mobile last year, and I'm fortunate enough to go to that most every year. So I got to watch him practice all week. This kid had a terrific week of practice to go along with a terrific career, especially his senior year at Notre Dame. So you saw the development already there. And when you ask the Pittsburgh people what impressed you most about him, it's not his receiving skills. It's not his size. They talked about watching him all week at the Senior Bowl be the first one in drills, and then when it came time for special teams, go and participate enthusiastically. You know, you've seen him with Pittsburgh as a gunner and first guy downfield, making tackles, making plays, blocking drills. He would still line up first, not just when it was time to go catch passes. They thought they loved his overall makeup, and then they watched how he interacted, how he studied, how he did things in meetings. These are the things that you see in a week's time at these all-star games that coaches and teams really lock in on. Not to mention 6'4", 238, and running, you know, somewhere around 4'4". That doesn't hurt either. And his best football is truly going to be ahead of him. I mean, it truly is. I love the story, and I'll stop here. It's one of my favorite stories about him. You guys have probably heard it. That when Notre Dame, you know, he sent out the tape to try and get interest because people just didn't know. They didn't find him up there, right? And he hears from Notre Dame, like, hey, we're interested. He asked his high school coach if Notre Dame was good at football. like, do they like football? What? Because he just wasn't locked in on it, wasn't versed in it yet. He didn't know the American game that well. But guy averaged 51 points a game in basketball in high school. He's beyond an athlete. He's fit in well. He's not a one game flash in the pan. Now, you're not going to get four touchdowns every game. Who does? But he is a significant player already as a rookie in the NFL.
Charles, I have more than one friend who needs to hear that clip. More than one Notre Dame fan that I know who needs to hear that clip. I'm going to have Silent Vic cut that MP3 it, and I'm going to email it to all my Notre Dame friends.
Is that not one of the great things, though? Because yeah. we all lock in, think in our world, we all lock in and think, you know, everybody knows what we know and knows that, you know, who the significant teams, who the players and all that. It's just not true. I was out walking my dogs the other day and I met this woman. She was really, really nice with her dog and the whole thing. And she said, oh, yeah, you're Lisa's husband. I met your wife. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice to meet you. Blah, blah. She goes, I understand you do something with sports. She goes, I know nothing about sports, so I'm sorry. We can't have that conversation. I was on the floor. I said, ma'am, it's not a prerequisite. You know, we can talk about other things. We're good.
With Charles Davis of the NFL on CBS, and this changes the mood just a little bit, Charles. There's breaking news. Adam Schefter, among others, tweeting this out. The Indianapolis Colts have shut down their facilities because, quote, several individuals within our organization have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Indianapolis is supposed to host Cincinnati at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So if you've got a bunch of positive tests being announced on Friday, that means that they likely were taken Thursday, Sunday's game. I mean, I can't see that happening now.
It certainly would appear to be in jeopardy, right? I mean, we've seen this already throughout, and you just pointed out very well, it's a time frame. Now, how much time do you have, what have you, plus the numbers. And the next thing is going to be, who are the people in the organization? So I'm not going to leap to total conclusions yet. We've got to find that part out. But what was interesting to me is, you know, we had this in Kansas City last week. All right. So there was someone from Kansas City's organization that tested positive. And I think this was like Thursday, Friday. I think it might have been Friday. And everybody's like, oh, boy, what's going to happen? It turned out he was in the strength and conditioning staff. They did the contact tracing because, you know, they're all wearing the thing on their wrists. You know, no one else was quote unquote in that type of contact, yada, yada. They did the extra testing and the game went forward. So let's see what happens here with Indianapolis. But you're right, it's something to be considered. And right now, I'm already looking at Monday, which is already becoming a very stacked Monday. Well, you know, we've had doubleheaders on Monday. That's how we start every season, right? There's a doubleheader on ESPN with Monday Night Football. Now we're adding these games. We were supposed to have two Monday night games this week, or I think, and then something changed on that. Last week we had a Tuesday night game. I just talked with someone from another organization yesterday, and they said, God, every time we say we've got to be flexible and adapt, I just hope people don't start taking it as something being trite. That is truly going to be what this season is going to be about. Because we just don't know how it's going to play out. Will they play? Won't they play? Do they have to move this? Do they not have to move that? We just all have to be ready for it. And you're exactly right. This game's in jeopardy in terms of timing. Now let's find out who the people are in the organization and see if indeed that's going to put a significant number of other players in that position where they may have to delay things from Sunday.
With Charles Davis of the NFL on CBS, we're tight on time. There's two bullet point topics I want to touch on with you. Both deserve a lot longer than we're going to be able to give them here, Charles, but we'd be remiss if we didn't bring them up. Dak Prescott. So I'm not going to ask you to play doctor, but as I think of serious injuries that have happened to people, Joe Theismann with the compound fracture in the mid-80s, the bone on the field, he was in an age where his career was coming to an end anyway. Alex Smith, man, And I love Alex Smith from his days with the 49ers. I was nervous for him watching him last week, especially as his offensive line, the pocket was collapsing seemingly every second play. That was a very serious injury. He came back. Drew Brees was different because it was the shoulder, but the Chargers gave up on him. The Dolphins took a pass. He ended up in New Orleans. That went okay. He was a much younger man, of course. Do you worry that Dak will never be the same?
Yeah, you always worry when you see that type of an injury because of the leg and the mobility. But you've pointed out very well, he has a few things in his favor. Youth, vitality, the ability to heal, all those things. Plus, we're at a better, much better place every single year with medical science, aren't we?
Yes.
You know, I mean, let's face it, every year it gets better. Plus, he can devote full time to rehab. He's not having to go to another job where you're trying to rehab your injury and do your other job, right? His job is to rehab that injury. So I'm bullish about his opportunity to come back and be a player in the league again, as opposed to I would have been like Theismann's time and his age. That's a great analogy there.
All right. And lastly, circling back to Pittsburgh, we talked a little Chase Claypool. Cleveland at 4-1 visits their longtime and most hated rival Pittsburgh at 4-0, 1 o'clock Sunday. This feels like one of those litmus tests for the Browns. Are you for real 4-1? If they go to Pittsburgh and win 5-1 and all of a sudden we're really talking, if they lose but it's respectable, they're still legit, right? Do you believe in the Browns?
I do, and I believed in them prior to the season because I've liked the roster for the last couple of years. But you can go and find my quotes from the last couple of years as well. I wasn't bullish on them at all last year, which is one of my favorite words this morning, because I didn't think they had the right leadership. Okay, I didn't think that they had a person who could handle, and when I say handle, who could coordinate all those personalities that they had, and all those personalities were breaking out left and right because of the hype machine. Baker Mayfield has his personality. OBJ has his personality, right? You know, Miles Garrett, they were going crazy. Hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. And I was like, you guys aren't ready for that yet. You haven't got to the playoffs yet. I was right about that one. When they hired Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry as the GM, I felt much better about leadership with that franchise. And I was bullish on them. Even after the opener, when they got blasted by Baltimore, I walked out of there and I said, this is a good roster. They're going to be okay as they build. I think they built quicker than I expected. I'm with you. I shouldn't say I'm with you. I'm just saying I think this is a good team. I think they're going to play well on Sunday. And the best part about this game, it's got such good vibe going into it because both these teams look to be good teams that we're not even talking Miles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, helmet, anything else. We're just talking football. And I love the fact that we have that. And last thing I'll ask you, are you guys buying Chase Claypool's American nickname of Mapletron, or is there something that we can come up with that's better for him?
We need something different.
That's what people are going with now. People are going with Mapletron to coordinate him with Megatron. So I just wanted to know what you think of that.
Little homage to Charles Johnson. I think that if Chase Claypool carves out a career like Charles Johnson had, Megatron had, I think he'll be okay with himself. But Kelvin Johnson, right, Charles Johnson, God, baseball, Kelvin Johnson. Thank you.
Calvin Johnson, Megatron here, and now they're going with Mapletron with him in the short amount of time, and I think that's kind of – I thought it was kind of cool. I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
Yeah, Mapletron, well, you know what we'll do? We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it.
Yeah, workshop it, and get back to me and let me know, okay?
We'll exchange some emails.
I want to know what the right thing is.
Yeah, we'll exchange some emails, kick it up to corporate, and we'll see where we go with that.